Matthew chapter 16. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. I love to preach. I love to minister. I like to help people. Sometimes I feel like I don't accomplish that, but I like to try to help somebody. And Matthew chapter number 16, familiar scripture. We'll start in verse number 13 when you find it. Say amen. She was quick there. She won. If we had Bible drills, she had already won. That was pretty quick there. Don't want to challenge her in Bible drill. She's got quick fingers. Matthew 16, verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah. And he said, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock wilt build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall thou be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shalt thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That's all my reading. God, I ask tonight you give me the tongue of the learned, that I might speak a word to somebody that's weary tonight, to help our people, Lord, to help this, help us, God, tonight to be able to hear. God, encourage one another. God, I ask this in your mighty name I pray. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on just a simple little thought on hearsay or experience. Here Jesus came and Jesus is interrogating his disciples. He's called them on the carpet, if you will, and he's asked them point blank a question on whom do men say that I am? And they begin to look at each other. And he didn't ask them, who do you say I am? But who do men say that I am? You've been out. You've been out witnessing. You've been out talking. You've been out talking to people and ministering. What are they saying about me is what Jesus said. And some of them said that you're Elias. Some of them say you're John, like John the Baptist. Or one of the prophets is what they're saying. But then he turns the question on, but who do you say I am? And these men, these disciples had been with him, and they knew who he was. And hearsay is information received from another person that could possibly be wrong. Hearsay. In the court of law, it's disallowed or it's uncreditable, hearsay is. And by him asking these questions, on who do you say I am? But and then they go on and said, some say you're Elias, but that's just hearsay. Some say you're John the Baptist, but that's just hearsay. But he turns the question to his disciples, those that's closest to him, John the Beloved. He turns to Mark and Simon Peter, and he asks these questions to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, as the spokesman that he always is, spoke up and said, thou art the Christ. That's who you are. You're the Son of the living God. See, what Peter said was not hearsay. Peter knew by experience that this was the Christ. Peter knew by experience that this was the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. Peter knew by experience, by being with him daily, communicating with him, walking with him by the seashore, talking with him, sitting down eating with him. That's how you're going to get a personal experience, is being in communion with him. And Peter was in communion with him daily. It wasn't just a once of a month festival or a meeting time. But it was not just a nonchalant lifestyle that Peter lived, but he was close to the Master. And these disciples were close to him, that they knew exactly when he woke up. They knew what he was all about. They knew that everywhere he went, he was doing good. They knew that he had healed lepers. They knew he had touched the blind. They'd seen by experience this Master that they was following. And Jesus asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." The Lord God has told you these things. This is not something that you've learned in a book or learned on some fancy, but you've learned this because you've been with the Master. And being with the Master gives you a great experience. And there's a lot of people in the day and hour we're living in that they have a walk with God, but it's a shallow experience of God. They come to church once or twice a year. I was talking to my brother the other day. I was over at his house last Sunday for his boy's birthday party, and I was talking to him about coming to church, and I said, "Man, you come to church sometimes." I said, "You probably come two times a year." I said, "You come on Easter, and I'm glad you do." I said, "You come around Christmas sometimes." And I said, "I'm glad you do." But that's just with a relationship like that, he needs an experience with the Lord. And when he gets an experience with the Lord, he can't help but frequent the house of God. You'll want to come. You'll want to be faithful. You'll want to do your part. You'll want to worship him. You'll want to glorify him. And Peter here knew about the Master. And he said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." And he's not talking about the Catholic Church. Amen? He wasn't talking about starting a Catholic pope. And Peter wasn't the first pope. And he said, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock will I build my church." Upon this information that you said, upon saying that I am the Christ, upon this, all the foundations are upon this one statement that you said, that thou art the Christ. All other ground, the song says, is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Buddha is trivial. Muhammad is trivial. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, you can stand on him. You can trust him. You can find eternal life through him. But all these others that are just men. And he said, some people say that you're just a prophet. He was not just a prophet, but he was the prophet of all prophets. He was the king of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's Emmanuel, God, being interpreted, being with us. I'm glad he's with us. I'm glad I can know him. I'm glad I've experienced him. I'm glad it's not just a hearsay relationship that you can have. You can have a genuine experience with God. You can have an experience with God. It takes you and wakes you up in the morning and causes you to pray. You can have an experience with God. It disturbs you when you see, as Brother Jarvis has been mentioned, it disturbs you when you see the nation going in the way it's going, in the city the way it's going. You can have such an experience with God. It'll burn inside your heart. You'll grab a burden and you'll pray down a burden if you ain't got a burden. You'll pray that God will give you a burden for lost souls. And being a Christ, Peter knew that being with the Master, that what the Lord was about, he was to seek and save that which was lost. Peter knew. Thou art the Christ. Did you hear it from somebody? No. I've learned it by being with you, by being at the feet of the Master, by walking and talking with him. I've learned this by following in his footsteps. Could you imagine that? What a blessed opportunity Peter and the disciples had. Following in the footsteps of him that was the Lord of all. What a blessed experience. The woman with the issue of blood, for 17 years, she pressed through the crowd. She had that. For 12 years, she had this infirmity. And one day, she seen the Master. And as she seen the Master, she pressed through the crowd. We know the story. She pressed through the crowd, and she touched him. But others touched him. But others didn't leave like she left. She left whole because she had a need. All the rest of them were just because of their importunity, because they were there, they were rubbing shoulders with him. But when she touched him, he said, I felt virtue leave my body. Who is this? Who is this that she touched? She didn't just touch some man, but she touched him. She touched the king. She touched the master. And when she touched the master touched her. That's how it happens. And that experience she got, she got a great experience, and the Lord healed her. The woman that, at the well, whenever the Lord came and talked to her, she was sitting there at the well, and she said, sir, he said, she said, it went on about her after he talked to her and about her husband's. And he finally touched her, and she went out to the city. She said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did do. She got an experience with the master. Many have knowledge, a head knowledge, but their hearts are far from Christ. You hear me? I'm not promoting ignorance. But a lot of people have a great knowledge, and I ain't just talking about his word, but they have a great knowledge. But what good is having all the knowledge and not having a genuine heart experience? See, it comes from the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So that tells me that your experience with God, and when you're worshiping God, when you're worshiping God, you worship it from your heart. There's words inside your heart that are there to promote Christ. Words such as glory and hallelujah and praise God and thank you, Jesus. That comes from your heart. And if you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to stir that heart up and generate them words inside your heart so they'll come out of your mouth. And when they come out of your mouth, you'll not be able to keep quiet in the service because you'll be magnifying him. And he said, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. I want an experience. I don't want a hearsay experience. The word hearsay is information, as I said, received from another person that possibly could be wrong. And like I said, in the court of law, and that's why in the court of law they tell you to tell the truth. That you got to put your hand on the Bible, tell the truth. Not only the truth, but the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. You know, there's three things there. The truth. And then the whole truth. There's some people, you know, you must tell the truth. But there's a lot of people don't tell the whole truth. And then there's people, once they tell the truth, they add more to it. He said, nothing but the truth. That's all we need to know. Just tell what you know. And when you're at a court and you're there and you're standing testifying against somebody, you must tell the truth. Don't add to it because it's just hearsay. It makes your information you got void and null, and it's cast out. But when you meet a soul that's lost, tell them the truth. Nothing but the truth. The whole truth. Don't hold nothing back. Don't be ashamed of it. He said, if we're ashamed of him, he said, he'd be ashamed of us and he'll deny us before the throne of angels. I want to tell the truth. How about you? I want to experience with God a genuine experience. Christ here interrogating his disciples. And what? The master is asking them, is, who do you say I am? I know what so-and-so thinks about me. I know what the Sanhedrin thinks about me. I know about the Galileans, how they think about me, and the rest of the Nazarene group. But who do you say that I am, Peter? Now you've been walking with me all this time. Now you've been gathered together with me all this time. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, right. When I was in school, most of the time, I didn't get the right answer. I threw my hand up and said something, but it was most of the time wasn't the right answer. A few times I got it right, but not always. But here, Peter got the right answer, and it's the right answer still yet. Down through the generations, it's still the right answer. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He's still high and lifted up. He's still worthy of our praise. He's still worthy to be magnified. And I bought me a little illustration the other day, and one day I'll get to use it. I bought me a magnifying glass. And one of these days I'm going to preach on, oh, magnify the Lord of me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. This poor man cried and he delivered me up out of all my fears. Oh, magnify. Have you magnified him today?
Have you magnified him?
Have you told anybody how good he is? He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Who is he to you? He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my shield. He's my rock. He's my comforter. Who is he to you? I don't want just a hearsay. Well, he done this for me years ago, but I want an up-to-date experience. The song says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story, but he's the King of glory. I'm glad I know who he is. You can have an experience. If you was arrested, and you've probably heard this millions of times, if you was arrested for being a Christian or not, would they find enough evidence to convict you? Would they? Would they have to dig through things? And, well, here's a Sunday school pen from back in 1976. They made it all month long. Is there enough evidence? Do you leave tracks in your Bible where you've been there? Do you mark in your Bible the day you read? Is there evidence? Is there hopefully there's a prayer room. But would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would there be a hung jury? We don't know. I don't know. And I'm not trying to tell anybody to go die tonight. But if you was to die tonight, and your family went through your belongings, what's left. Now you're talking about going through your cash drawer that you've got, your old socket's got all that money in it. I ain't talking about that, but I'm talking about things valuable. If they open up your Bible and they begin to read in your Bible and look through it, is there markings in there? Do you have a prayer list of people that you prayed for? You can have an experience. And that's one thing about my mama. And I don't even know why I'm bringing this up tonight. My mama, was going through her stuff, one thing was her Bible was laying on her table. And I've got a notebook there with probably over 250 people inside of it. She prayed for daily, all around. Any prayer request that was made at church, she'd write it down and she'd pray for them. And I've looked back at some of them, and I said, man, the Lord's healed that one. Lord saved that one already, and this one's already been took care of. And I don't know about you, but I want an experience like that. Huh? I don't want something to hear say, oh, I think she went to church, or I think he went to church. You know, there's a lot of people, they die, and they put their obituary on, and they're not affiliated. They say they're affiliated with the church, but they ain't been to church in years. That's one of the hardest things to do is go to, and I've done it. I preached a funeral before, a couple funerals before, and the people didn't go to church. And I didn't get up there and say, you know, that they was an outstanding citizen. Or all I could do is just preach, try to help the family that was left behind. And that's all you can do. But I don't want to leave no shades, but I want an experience. Do you know him today? Huh? Do you know him? Peter said, thou art the Christ. The song says, and I always have songs in my sermons. The song says, tell me the story of who? Jesus, not Muhammad. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. I don't know about you, I want an experience that I know the Master, that I've been in contact with him. And they can look at me and say, you're one of them. And the song, another song said, I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. We used to sing it, didn't we? I am glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And tonight, can they point at you and say, you're one of them? Would you say, not me, no, no. But your conversation, the way you talk, you've been with the master. I can tell the way you talk. I can tell the way you treat people. You're one of them. You must be a Christian. So being a Christian, you've been in contact with Christ. You must know him. And the world's looking for somebody that knows him. They're looking for an answer. And the greatest answer we have to all the casualties going on is Jesus. Jesus is the only hope for this world. He's the answer for the last calamities. He's the answer for this drug craze world. He's the answer for a man's condition that's walked away from God. He's an answer for a home that's broke. Jesus is an answer to that drug addict that don't want nothing to do with anybody, that's running wild. He's the answer, Jesus. And they can find an experience with him. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. In Genesis, he was the seed of woman. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he was the high priest. Numbers, he's a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Deuteronomy, he was a prophet like unto Moses. Joshua, you've heard these. He was a captain of our salvation. Judges, he was the lawgiver. Ruth, he was our kinsman redeemer. I'm glad we still got Ruth in this Bible. Lets me know he was my kinsman redeemer. He purchased me and bought me. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he was a prophet. 1 and 2 Kings, he was a reigning king. He's still my reigning king. In Ezra, he was the faithful scribe. Nehemiah, the rebuilder of walls of human life. He can fix it. You hear me? He can put it all back together again. No matter how much damage the enemy has done, God can pick the pieces up and put it all back together again. He's a rebuilder. He's not a remodeler. He just don't remodel it. He rebuilds it. He don't go in and just make it look pretty, but he fixes it new, all things new. Esther, he was our Mordecai. And Job, he was our day spring from on high. Psalms, I remember this as a young boy, the Lord, our shepherd. I'm glad that's who Jesus is. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. Song of Solomon, he's the lover of the bridegroom. He still loves the bride. There's still a wedding coming. The wedding of the bride united with who? The groom. We shall see him when he comes. Are you ready? Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. I'm glad there's peace. He gives peace that passes all understanding. Jeremiah, he's a righteous branch. Lamentations, he was a weeping prophet. Who is this talking about? All through this Bible here. Who is it pointing to? It's pointing to the Lamb of God. It's pointing to our Master. It's pointing to the King of Kings. Emmanuel, my Master. And I want to lift him up. Ezekiel, he's a wonderful four-faced man. And Daniel, the fourth man in the fire. Hosea, he was a faithful husband. Oh, thank God. Joel, he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that's in the Bible. I'm glad it's still in my Bible in there. In Joel, that on the last day he said, God, I'd pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters. It's a prophecy, a sign. And it goes on, and whosoever's called upon my name shall be saved. I'm glad it's still in there. Amos, he's our burden bearer. Have you got a burden? Is your burden sinking you low? I'm talking about troubles. I ain't talking about a burden for souls, but he can lift you up. What would I do without him, Brother Mike Gilpin? What would I do without him? I'd be lost. But I'm glad I've got an experience with him. It's not just something I've heard about. I'm sure I was raised in Sunday school, and I probably went to every room around here, and I probably wore out every Sunday school teacher you had. They deserve double golden stars, if there's a thing. But I'm glad it's not just a hearsay experience that I just heard about it and then I went on. We had a lot that came and they heard, but they're gone, and it was just a hearsay. But they can still have an experience. What seed was planted in their heart can grow still yet. God can get a hold of their heart still yet. He's our burden bearer. And Obadiah, he's a mighty savior. And Jonah, he was a great missionary. That's my master. And Micah, he was a messenger with a beautiful feet. Nahum, he was avenger of God's elect. And Habakkuk, God's evangelist, to revive the work in the midst of the years. Is this just hearsay? This is experiences. This is what he's done. This is his resume, what I'm reading to you. When you go for a job, you've got to have a resume, and you've got to have people that have support behind you and say that so-and-so references. These are his references all through the Bible. This, look what the Lord has done. All through the years, he's the baptizer, he's the healer, he's the faithful husband. Nahum, the avenger of God's elect, you don't have to fight your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist. I said that. Zephaniah, he's the Savior. Haggai, he's the restorer of a lost heritage. Thank God for that. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thou art my rod, my staff. Thou comforts me. You ever been down? You ever had your head down and you think nobody notices? They can see that. But he sees it way before they ever seen it. And he's able to lift your head up. He's a lifter up for my head. He causes my feet to be like hinds feet, so I won't slip and fall. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemy's watching. How are they surviving? Because they've got an experience with God. God sent food upon their table because they prayed. Everybody else is going hungry, but these people prayed and God provided. Has he done that for you? Over and over and over and over, I can tell you multitudes of times that God's provided. And some of them just weird stuff. And I thought, how in the world? One day I woke up and I needed a good set of battery boosters, battery cables. The ones I had was bad. And I told the Lord, man, I'd like to have some battery cables. And that evening, driving that old FedEx truck, went around a curve, it was pouring the rain, and I looked and I said, what was that? I said, that was battery cables. So I turned that truck around, put it in park, walked and got the battery cables. When I got the battery cables, I looked down in the ditch, and there was a case for the battery cables. See, he'll not only supply your need, but he'll give you something to take care of it, so you won't lose it. You say, you're crazy. No, it's God how he provides. We're driving down the road, and you say, you're crazy. No, I might be. Leave me alone. I'm enjoying the trip. But I was driving down the road with the FedEx boy there. He's training me, and I told him, I said, man, I'd like to have a good grill, a good charcoal grill. He said, you're crazy. He said, there ain't going to be no charcoal grill anywhere. We drove around the block, went up a few hollers, and lo and behold, beside the road, over 113 Carly Lane, was a grill sitting beside the road. They'd bought them a new one, and their old one was sitting there. And it was a magic chef. And it opened it up, and it needed some work. You needed some work, and I needed some work. So I picked it up. My wife said, "You're crazy." Picked it up. I called the company. I said, "How much is these burners?" "Them, sir, them's under warranty. We didn't let you have them." I said, "Well, but this part, it's $13. I said, "You're kidding." I said, "I'll take that part and send me my pieces." And we put it back together. God will provide. Fret not. Over and over, He's a provider. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. He's coming. He knows how to take care of His own. He's my provider. He's your provider. What do you need? God's got it in abundance. I've told you the story before. This guy said he was praying and said he had a vision of up in heaven. He said he seen these big boxes and they had big bows on them. I've told you this before. There's big bows on these packages. And he said, "What is these packages for? And what's these beautiful bows on all these packages?" And the angel told him, said, these are answers to prayers that have not been prayed yet. We have not because we ask not. We want revival? We don't have. All we got to do is ask and believe. Come and believe. Come, he that has no money, come without price. Come. They that's hungry, he'll feed the hungry. Though it's thirsty, if you're thirsty, he'll give you springs of living water. He has an abundant supply. You don't have to have a hearsay experience. You can have an experience with God. You can leave here with your cup running over. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's still joy unspeakable. And it's still full of glory. And I could read the rest of these right here, but let me just read over here. He was Abraham's sacrifice. He was Noah's rainbow. Isaac's well, Jacob's ladder, Issachar's burden, Moses' rod, Samuel's horn of oil. He was David's sling, Peter's shadow, Paul's handkerchief. He was John's pearly white city. What is he to you? The world, the name of Jesus, don't mean much to them at all. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's still the fairest, as I said, of 10,000 to my soul. For him to pick me up out of the horrible pit and set my feet on a solid rock and establish my goings and put praise in my heart, he's worthy to be praised. Where he found me at? No, I hadn't got gross deep in sin, but he saved me just in time. Before the waves and the winds had tortured me and dragged me out to the sea, he saved me just in time. I must praise him. I must glorify him. Where did he find you at? Where was you at? Which route was you headed? Can you remember? Will you sing the song? "I remember the day when the Lord saved me. All heaven came down. I was happy and free. Glory filled my soul before I knew the Lord and made me whole." Do you remember the day? Do you remember who it was that saved you? It wasn't your neighbor beside you. You may have good neighbors. It wasn't your papa or your mama. They may be great models for Christian. In the Christian doctrine and Christian life to fall after. But it was Jesus, the Lamb of God, that saved you. He paid a price. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone. And I'm glad I found him. I'm glad he found me. I was headed to hell. Have you got an experience? Or is it just hearsay? Is it something that you could do? Is it something you can leave laying somewhere and say, "Well, I go to church. Every now and then I go to church." Or is it something that you can't live without? This should be food and raiment for your soul. You hear me? It should be bread and water. This should be nourishment to the Christian soul. Knowing that we have, what a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs. What a privilege just to carry everything to him in prayer. I'm glad I know him. Do you know him today? Can you fathom that he would love you and I? That he would reach down. God gave heaven's best for heaven's for the world's worst. He bankrupted heaven so he can reach men like you, John Martin, men like me. I'm glad he saves. And he said, he told Peter, he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed art you, Jonah. You're blessed, Jonah. Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you because, let me read it. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Let me read them before that. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That's right. For flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You're blessed. You're blessed. If we can just realize, if we can get it in our mind how blessed we are. We got the greatest thing going today. Knowing if your heart's right, if your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're blessed. You're blessed. And we ought to magnify God and glorify God. Somebody come piano. We're going to close. I could have read a lot more. I got a lot more. I told my wife, joking with her, I had 10 pages. No, I ain't got 10 pages. I wrestled, fought for a message. God gave me a message, but I wrestled for time. Seemed like everything was against me. But I feel like the Lord trying to speak to us tonight. Just trying to encourage us. Just trying to get us to realize, as Greg sung, it is mine. It is mine. Blessed be his name. He's given peace. Perfect peace to me. It is mine. It's yours. It's yours. He's giving you peace. Brother Aaron, he's giving you a fresh spark of revival. Sister Sue, he's giving you a great hunger for the Holy Ghost. It's yours. Come and dine. The Master called. Can we find this place of prayer around this altar? Got a need? Got anything you want to trust God for? Come. Come. He's got an abundant supply. He'll withhold no good thing unto us. He's not withholding anything for us. It's whosoever will. Let him come.